You're listening to The Jasmine Starr Show, a conversational business podcast for hustlers building a business and a life they love. And you want to know what a lot of business owners that I coach have in common? Yeah, they need sales, and yet they hate asking for the sale. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so if you're the kind of person where the word sales puts a bad taste in your mouth, or perhaps the thought of selling like makes your palm sweat, please know you're not alone. But here's the thing. If you own a business, selling is just part of life. No matter how much you may or may not like it, it's something we have to do to keep our lights on, to keep the doors open, you know, to empower us to do the thing we want to do. That's why I had the pleasure of hosting a very important class where I taught 4 sales strategies to help you sell on social media without feeling like a sleazy used car salesman. And that's exactly what you're about to hear today. Let's listen in and go from loathing to loving selling once and for all. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am having a very excited opportunity to come in and talk about one of my favorite things. We're going to be talking about sales, and we're specifically going to be talking about business sales. So if you are a business owner and you want to increase your revenue for the year, y'all, we are heading in on a very fast train, so choo-choo. All aboard. Did I just say choo-choo? Like, this is like the most typical mom thing. I was actually this morning doing a choo-choo with my daughter, and all of a sudden I'm in entrepreneur mode. I'm like, choo-choo, boys and girls, let's go and do some sales. All right, so we're gonna dive right in. We're gonna be focusing on irresistible sales strategies for social media. That's kind of my jam. That's where I want to be. And we're going to go in and we're going to talk and get a little bit personal. I want to be real with you so you can be real with me. And yes, we record these live, and your comments help dictate the conversation and where we should head, not just today, but in the future. So please feel free to drop your comments, your ideas, your feedback, and your questions here, and we'll dive in and make sure that we're scaling the way that we are growing together. So my personal example. I used to think that sales were sleazy, fake, and cheap. That was just how I felt about them. And I came from the school of thought that if your business was that good, you will get discovered. If you are that talented, people will buy from you. If your product or service is unrivaled, well, then you need not sell. You should simply, you know, show up and people will buy. And anytime I had to ask for a sale, I felt almost apologetic. Like, I'm sorry to bother, but there's this thing that I do that I think you'd really like. And so it came from a place of less than and weakness. And then I realized, oh, hey, there's a reason why people aren't buying. But the thing that shifted for me a few years into my business is I realized I had to sell. And this was a realization, because if I did not sell, and if I wasn't getting sales, I actually just had a very expensive hobby. That's what I had. So if you don't want a really expensive hobby and you want a legit business, well, you're going to need sales. So let's chat about what we need to do to flip the script. Now, if you're wondering, well, Jasmine, were you really cognizant about thinking about your sales being like cheap or sleazy or whatever the case may be? And the answer was yes. And the answer I can feel so confident about letting you know what that was, because I'm gonna riff here for a second, Christina, so we're good. I'm actually gonna look here at camera too. Let's have a little bit of a reel-to-reel, heart-to-heart conversation. And that then becomes, I was sitting with my mentor, and we were sitting in a group of 20 entrepreneurs, and we were walked through a visualization exercise. And he had walked us through this visual exercise, and he had said, what is the word that comes up when I say sales? Now, he didn't start the conversation with, oh, we're gonna be talking about sales today. No, we went through a visualization process, we went through a journaling process, and then we got to the point where he says, when I say the word sales, what is the word that comes up for you? Sleazy, fake, and cheap. And then the minute that I realized that that was my undercurrent of belief, I then realized why I was distinctly behind the curve. So if I was distinctly behind the curve, I had to shift the way that I approached sales. And let's dive back into the keynote and walk you through those shifts that I had to make. And I am happy to tell you that this year, I again had the privilege to sit with the man who used to be my mentor, who I now call a friend. And we went through a visualization exercise, and I ended up at the end of it. The word that came up for me when I thought about sales was power. Go back to camera one. So how then did it become power? What then changed for me? The thing that distinctly changed for me was that
I needed to know four objectives when it came to sales. Because sales does not come naturally to me, I actually had to learn how to sell. But here's why I think it's so important, why selling actually exists, is that we're not coming back. I feel like I need to go back to camera two because I'm gonna have like a reel-to-reel full screen conversation, is that sales is less about convincing somebody that they need something. Sales is about you standing in your purpose and your place of power. I do not care, and I actually don't even know what your business is. So if you're a graphic designer, if you're a photographer, if you sell essential oils, if you are a jewelry maker, if you are a boutique owner, if you are a dentist, if you are a chiropractor, whatever it is that you're selling, you need not convince somebody that they need that thing, because chances are they do. If you stand in your purpose and you know that you're leading with value and you care about them, about making their life easier, better, faster, whatever their objective is, that you can be in a place of power to say, I can change your life. That's it. So all of a sudden, if we shift of like, let me convince you why you need my photography, let me convince you why I should be your dog walker, it then becomes, I am confident in what it is I sell because I have a set of objectives. So let's go back into the keynote and let's talk about what those objectives are. So there are four main objectives. If you're taking notes, let's dive right in. Number one, you want to understand your offer. Now, I know this seems very basic, but it's time for us to switch how we approach what it is we offer. Oftentimes, what I see with business owners is there is an offer on the table and they lead with what it is exactly they're selling. But the big shift for me came is that I have to focus less on what I am selling and more about the benefits that they receive from their investment, aka what do they get, not what do I sell. So when I started my first career as a photographer, I used to focus on photography. But what I needed to shift the focus on was your investment got these benefits. When you frame your offer as a benefit to them, all of a sudden it empowers them to be knowledgeable about what it is you sell. Objective number two is to initiate an invitation. And this was the tricky part for me because, like I'd mentioned before, I was never a person to be like, oh, come here, let me sell you something. I wanted people to come to me. But what I learned is initiation actually moves the needle when it comes to sales. So let's talk about a photographer's invitation. Now, we can riff on a few other industries. If you want me to riff on your industry, like leave them here in the comments and we can get into that when we get into Q&A. But an invitation, a very distinct invitation, is to frame what it is you offer in regards to their benefits and what it is that you are actually offering them. So for example, for newbie photographers interested in learning night sky photography, I will help you get your first landscape client in 7 to 10 days. Book a call. So what we did is we initiated an invitation leading with the benefit. The benefit was, I'll help you get a landscape client in this amount of time, and then points back to what it is that you do, night landscape photography. Phenomenal. What would be another initiate an offer? Well, that would be if you sell a product. Let's say you sell handbags. Well, initiating the offer could be a seasonal handbag, free shopping, sales. It could be a style kit that comes along with it. It could be a collaboration of a side bag along with a hat and a scarf going for the fall. You have to initiate what it is in regards to the benefit that they get with their investment. Okay, number three is we want to identify and dismantle possible objections. So let's go full screen. I'm gonna go over to camera two. So when we are talking about dismantling objectives, we as business owners need to know one thing. Most often, customers are coming from a place of no. Not because you don't have an incredible business and not because you don't have an incredible product or service. Chances are, you are incredible and what you offer is incredible. But so we need to adjust my mic because we're having audio issues. I'm just gonna pull it on up and let's see if that fixes the audio issues. I don't think it's touching a necklace. Y'all, this is the first time that we be doing this and trying this from like a highbrow capacity. Okay, great. I think the audio issues are fixed. Now, let's go back to identifying and dismantling objectives. Business owners, we know that people will find a reason not to buy the thing that we sell. It is such a powerful place when it comes to sales when you can address their objective and then dismantle it before they even have the chance to think it. Let's go back into the keynote and dismantle what it actually looks like. So, for an example, let's just say I am a business coach and I want to coach business coaches on how to increase their sales. an objection from somebody who's like, I'm not sure if I can invest in that program would be, I don't know if that program's going to work for me because I don't have a big newsletter list. That could be an objective. Like, this is not going to work for me. She's going to tell me all these things that I need to be doing, but I don't have the tools. So before I can do that, I must get this. Well, I, in order to get the sale, must dismantle somebody's preconceived notions or objections to it. I could say, hey, having a small list could actually be a good thing. You can get personal. You could look at your data and analytics. You can go deeper with a small audience so people get access to you, furthering that know, like, and trust factor. Oh, what did I do to get the sale? I thought about an objection that you might not have thought of. I addressed it immediately, and then I gave a resolution to what they were actually feeling or doubting. Let's dive into the last and final piece of our objectives when it comes to an irresistible sales approach on social media. Let's talk about the experience. Now, we want to not just talk about what we are selling, we're talking about what they're getting, seeing the future for them. So let's just give an example. If I was a financial advisor, I wouldn't just say, hire me, let's talk about your money. Because what does that actually mean for you? What does it actually look like? Well, here's an example. As a client, you'll be provided with a quarterly review of your accounts at the end of each quarter so that you're always aware of your financial status. If I am hiring a financial planner, I want to know what that status is. Don't make me guess what that experience will be. I need to know it. All right, so let's do a brief recap of all 4 points. Objective number one, to understand your offer. Spell it out for me crystal clear, but don't tell me what you're selling. Tell me the benefits. Number two, initiate an invitation. We have to actually say, hey, would you like to do X? If so, then do this. We're initiating the invitation. Number three, identify and dismantle objections. We know people are going to say no. What would it look like for you to know their no in advance and address it on the front end? It solicits a lot of confidence. And lucky number four, talk about the experience. Sell them the future of what they will get and do as a result of buying your product or service. So everything I just spoke about, I learned from my mentor. I am sorry, I have something in my throat. It makes me sound like I'm emotional. I'm crying about sales. Everything that I have learned on the back of a really great mentor of mine. And the good news is that I'm sharing everything I know with you, with his permission, and here's how. I invested in 3 years of working with him closely, and I'm about to tell you something that a lot of people are going to have an opinion about. A lot of people are going to have an opinion about, goodness gracious, the amount of money that I spent to be working with a business coach, and I want to be transparent about what that transaction looked like. I spent $25,000 to work with a business coach, and that was for 12 months. And I didn't do it for 1 year, I did it for 3 years. So I invested with him $75,000 and I think it was worth every single penny. And the good news is that I worked with him for $75,000 and you can work with him for a heck of a lot less. So you can learn from James as well because he is a guest contributor to this month's issue of Social Curator. He is breaking down his entire system and methodology, a system that he taught to me. And I have to tell you, I don't talk too much about this. I'm a rather private person. But if I tell you that, like, hey, this person really transformed the way that I saw about sales, is that the first time he guided me through a project, through a launch, and something pretty massive in my business. The very first launch that we capitalized on, we made, and this was not planning on saying this, but it's coming out because I want to speak my truth. We made $275,000. And that was over a 2-week period. And I have to tell you that I have never seen that amount of money in any one given time. And so when people ask me, oh, I don't know if I could ever spend money on a business coach, I have to tell you that I needed, you might not, but I needed a structure for somebody to come in and talk to me about the methodology of selling so that I could fully stand in my purpose and get the thing that I want. Not necessarily more money, although the revenue does help, but to fully understand and help business owners the way that I felt I uniquely could. And I want you to do the same for your clients and your customers. So what you're going to be getting this month is a complete video. It's a 1-hour video with myself and James outlining the structure, giving you feedback inside of our group coaching. and you're going to be understanding a framework, getting a workbook, and listening into that conversation, as well as our regular standard things that come on the Inside of Social Curator every month. It is a monthly subscription where you get 30 caption templates, 5 Instagram story sets so that you can be showing up and driving that engagement. You're going to be getting group coaching. You're going to be getting daily reminders of how you show up and market your business. We do this every month. And so I'm giving you a sneak peek and sharing you some high value to see if maybe, just maybe, this is what you need for your business. I would love to see you on the inside, but remember, the party ain't stopping now. We're diving in to a little bit of Q&A. Before we go to Q&A, in case you would like the link, it's socialcurator.com/join. Now let's get this Q&A started. But before I get into the Q&A, I have to tell you, you have everything in you that you need to sell on social media. That's it. It's already in you. The question will become, will you give yourself the permission to get the thing that you want? It is inside of you. Will you channel it and give yourself the permission, not just for sales and not just for revenue, but for you to stand in your purpose and connect with clients and customers? All right, let's dive in. Let's get a little bit of Q&A. Questions from Tiffany Smith. I found my dream clients for my made-to-order fashion line. How do I cold contact on LinkedIn and DMs? What do I say? Well, Tiffany Smith, we have a full issue on the Inside of Social Curator dedicated to direct messages, including direct message templates for cold leads. However, let's give you a little taste of something that you could say is when you are trying to send a direct message to a cold lead, the last thing you want to do is talk about your made-to-order clothing line. And you're like, wait, Jasmine, what are you talking about? That's how sales happen. Actually, no. On the Inside of Social Curator, we believe that we must do things differently to get different results. So what you see online are a lot of cold DMs. I can't tell you how many times a day I get offers from skincare professionals about my facial melasma. I have dark spots. Bro, they're called freckles, and I like them. I get cold DMs about fixing my freckles when I'm just like, no, thank you. I actually like them. So what am I encouraging people to do? Number one, build a relationship. If you are going to send a cold DM on Instagram or LinkedIn, I want you to go to their profile and look at their first 9 posts. If they went on vacation, if they have a cute dog, if they have an adorable child, if they were on a hike and they took a beautiful boomerang of where they were, I want you to look at their account, contextualize who they are and what they do, and then send them a direct message about that. Let them know that you see them as a human. Secondly, be social on social media. And the DM should be about what you saw. Hey, I saw that you went to Cabo San Lucas. May I ask where you stayed? I'd really like to go to Mexico. If they have a dog, you have such a cute puppy. What's your puppy's breed? If they have a great child, you know, they have a cute child and it's during the holidays or it's in Halloween and you talk about their costume or how you celebrate the holidays, we must be social on social media far before anybody ever trusts you and far before you ever ask for the sale. So if you're asking about strategically approaching it, we have a distinct methodology on the Inside of Social Curator. But first and foremost, contextualize the relationship, respond to them human to human, and over time, warm up that lead to then ask for the sale. Okay, let's go into Cindy Rosa. I have no problem selling my services, but my struggle is in selling products. Many clients are purchasing their products from big box retailers. Any advice? All right. So Cindy is talking about big box retailers. And I have to tell you, Cindy, I have been digging into the data. I cannot wait to share the things that I've been learning. I've had the great opportunity to work with a data scientist, not work with, excuse me, I don't want to overstate it. There was a data scientist who did a 3-year study on what people's buying habits and branding. And what she and her team have shared with me, which will be later released publicly. She has like a big press junket on Good Morning America and all those news outlets. It's going to be killer. Is that she is saying that people want to buy from a brand, less from education, big box retailers, any letters behind a name. She says that the next biggest wave of consumers are going to be millennials, if not already now. Now, something like 78% of millennials have stated that they want to buy from a personal brand. 78% of them said that they would choose their doctor or their lawyer based on a personal brand. a doctor or a lawyer. This is like the highest level of barriers to entry. You need a lot of education, you need a lot of money, it's a lot of time. And people are saying, you know, Harvard's great and all, but what I really want to know is how are you showing up on TikTok? How quickly are you responding to my direct messages? So even if right now you feel like your competition is a big box retailer, all I'm telling you is double down on you. If you have no problem selling your services and you want to sell a product, then what you need to do is do you selling your product. I don't know what your products are, but if you're selling hair care, do your hair, use your product. If you're selling makeup, do your makeup, use your product. If you're selling clothing, add layers to your outfit and highlight a mix of clothing. Now, I am not saying that if you sell clothing, you're using like 18 pieces and you're like, here's the outfit of the day, buy all of these 18 things. It's talking about, it's like a little flavor, a little sabor. You want to add in the one piece that you sell, like your product piece, and then add in a few other layers so that people can get to know and like you and trust you with always feeling like they're being sold to. My advice to you, if not today, then sure as heck as I'll get out next year. Your competition isn't a big box retailer. Your competition isn't even the person who's selling the same products in a different way. Your competition is you. Your only objective is to be 1% better than you were yesterday, is to be 1% more confident than you were yesterday, is to step into your superpower and help people and direct them towards sales 1% better than yesterday. You focus on that, and I'm telling you, it will be a game changer. Kelsey says, I'm getting new followers on my Insta. Should I be reaching out individually and saying thanks for the follow? What kind of content would you like to keep seeing? I think this is doable now, but I don't want to be overbearing. Kelsey, we always believe that on the inside of Social Curator, on the inside, am I going to? Yes. On the inside of Social Curator, we firmly believe that there is not a one size fits all for every business owner. Kelsey, I think you already know what you want to do. You want to send a direct message to new followers, and what you might be looking for is permission. If you're looking for permission, here it is. Kelsey, you have permission to send a direct message to all of your new followers saying, thank you for being here. What kind of content would you like to see? If for some reason you happen to send 10 direct messages and you don't get a single response, that's your audience saying, hey, Kelsey, it's a little overbearing. If you get 1, 2, 3, 10 people to respond from your direct message, that's your audience saying, hey, Kelsey, we see you. We really appreciate the personal attention. There is not a one size fits all, but there is a one size for you. But what we encourage you to do is test your methodology and test your approach. Your audience will speak back to you and let you know. And even if they don't speak back, that's just as good of a sign as if they did. Patricia Hendricks, how do you sell without being salesy as well as creating opportunities to open conversations and build relationships? So Patricia, on the inside of Social Curator, we have 7 caption categories. We have about me, we have testimonials, we have benefits, we have behind the scenes. We have 7 categories, and of the 7 categories, only 2 of them are focused on the business. The other 5, they're about conversations, being social, and identifying you as the business owner. And I have to tell you that if you're unfamiliar with Social Curator and then you come in and you see the caption templates, a lot of times people say, oh wait, I signed up for Social Curator. Whoa, I almost dropped my phone, but my cat-like reflexes, meow. Okay, I signed up for Social Curator because I really want to sell more stuff. Great, but our methodology is to sell by being social. Our methodology is to build on your brand. Our methodology is to be freaking human on the internet and not QVC. If what you want to do is only sell on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, we're not the people for you. But if you want to effectively sell and get these powerful results that we've been seeing again and again, you're going to have to do something different than you've ever done before. And you want to know what this is? All of it? It's not a battle of whether or not somebody can sell. It's a battle of whether or not people will say that they are enough. It's a battle of people in their mind, not their wallets. It's a battle of the mind and not what's in their bank account or their education or anything that they've done to build their business. It is whether or not they have the courage to say, I am enough to say what I need to say because I don't need to sell to millions. I need to sell to one person because one person turns into 2 and 2 turns into 4. And this is the biggest hurdle that we have on the inside of Social Curator. It's not whether the caption templates work. It's not whether a gallery of 4,000 images are enough. It's not whether the group coaching is effective enough, even though we have a live class every single week and networking opportunities and guest speakers and contributors and tons of content. That's not it. It's just whether or not somebody wants to show up every single day for 5 minutes to market their business and say, I'm here, I have something to sell, and I have something to do for my audience. That's the first piece of the things that we have to do when it comes to sales. Okay, let's go back to camera one. Sydney Long, I have seen a major decline in engagement in the last 2 weeks and previously had great traction. Is there another change in the algorithm? I haven't changed my content and I have actually grown my following since the drop in engagement, so feeling a bit confused. Sydney, it will always go up and it will always go down. That's just it. You have to understand, like we all do, is that an algorithm will change. It is in Instagram and Facebooks and YouTubes and LinkedIn and Twitter and Clubhouse and all the social platforms that have an algorithm. It's in their best interest to change the algorithm. Because when users can predict what is going to be the most engaging, they want to change it immediately because there's some nefarious people who will rig clickbait content so that they get the most engagement and then shuffle everybody out to the side. The algorithm is not, oh, did it change again? It's the algorithm changes every single day a little bit. So what we have to do is simply, if you have been growing, wow, amazing. Now you just need to save all this influx of new followers. What are they going to be engaging with and what you should be doing? Now, a common piece of advice that I give for anybody who has seen a decline in engagement, and listen, if you have time, I'm talking about 5 minutes, I'm talking about 7 minutes, I'm talking about 10 minutes. Go to your followers on whatever platform you choose, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, pick people at random and send them a quick note. Like, hey, I'm super happy that we connected. I hope you're having a great day. Or sending you a cyber high five, Mario. I appreciate you being here. Hey, Christina, I noticed you updated your profile picture. Looking great. Do you want to know what that would do? Yeah. Yes. People would probably be like, hey, thank you so much for that. I think the greatest form of engagement would be to connect with somebody and say, hey, I notice you. I hope you're doing well. Wow, 21st century marketing tactics right there. Yeah, let's be a little bit human a lot of the time. Kim said, can all of this be applied to your personal profile too, or will Facebook not like that, AKA sales? We see people selling on personal profiles on Facebook all the time. However, you're limited on your Facebook profile to 5,000 friends. Once you get past that 5,000, Facebook will mandate that you get a Facebook page. But I just think if you have, let's just say, 1,500 or 2,000 friends and you're using it for sales, and for some reason Facebook sees that you're using it actively for sales and they decide to pull your account, what then happens to your stream and flow? That's why I have a personal account on Facebook and I don't use it. I use my Facebook page. I want people to connect there. I want to respond to comments that are to the best of my ability. I want to respond to personal messages to the best of my ability. And if I can't step in, we have like the team helping people and facilitating where we need to go. Like, I'm trying my best to grow a page that I know is A-okay on Facebook's side. You're not going to hear me say yes or no. I'm just saying, is it worth the risk? And for some people it is, and for some people it isn't. But the approach, the 4 steps to selling, work not just on Facebook or on Instagram or on LinkedIn or on YouTube. It works in general. Like if you gave me a potted plant, agave, and say, Jasmine, go and sell the agave. You want to know why I think I'm good and I'm coming from a place of power where I could never ask for a sale? Is I simply walk through, what's my offer? I need to sell the agave. What's the initiate the invitation? I need to list the benefits of why you would need this agave. And then what I need to do is list the objections and then face them. Like, listen, I know you probably don't want an agave, but let me tell you how this agave can change your home landscaping. And then 4, I need to sell the future of this agave. Imagine in 5 years how they're blossoming in front and you have a deeper appreciation for how tequila is made. You know what I mean? It's like, you give me something to sell, I'm no longer afraid. I'm in a place of power. Why? Because I know the thing that I'm giving to you is of value to you. My objective isn't to say I'm the best at selling agave. My objective should say that this agave is going to be the thing that you want and makes your life easier and better and connects the dots. That's my objective. So every week I go live and I have conversations. This is the first time we tried it. So tried it with like 2 cameras and like trying to figure out how we can like up level what we're doing out on social media. It was fun and it was wonky and it was awkward and I'm sweaty, but we had fun along the way. And I don't ever want to come out and put something that's sheerly perfect and utterly produced, whereas behind the scenes, we're trying to fix it. I'm the kind of person, get it out, have it be scrappy, watch people make your mistakes and continue to show up. I think the same methodology applies to when you want to sell on social. Do I think that you're going to come out and be like the OxyClean person immediately, like your product or service comes out, you're like, but wait, there's more. Of course not. Selling is an art form, and selling takes practice. But following the four-step methodology, listening to brilliant people like James Wedmore gave me the confidence to show up and had a transformative effect, not just on my business, but on my life. I can't wait to dive into our live classes. I can't wait to get into sales group coaching. I can't wait to go into our caption writing classes. I can't wait to get into our networking classes. Y'all, I will see you on the inside of Social Curator, and if not today, then soon. Hope you guys have a good one. Bye, y'all.
So there you have it. If you'd like even more help with repairing your relationship with the word sales, start your Social Curator subscription at socialcurator.com/join, where this month's issue is all about irresistible sales strategies for social media. In this particular action plan, I interview James Wedmore, where he shares his biggest mindset hacks and sales tips for an entrepreneur who wants to learn about how to talk about their business without always selling their business. Y'all, it's so juicy. And the feedback has been so transformational, and people are getting amazing results in a short amount of time. I cannot wait for you to read it, hear it, and enjoy it. I'll see you soon at socialcurator.com/join.